Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Kickstart your adventure now with a new Gud golf cart from Country Carts of Brookhaven. Gud golf carts are assembled right here in Mississippi with the best features around. And best of all, they're street legal. Country Carts of Brookhaven, 401 Highway 51 South, phone 601-748-0454.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the stories straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, welcome to In a Mississippi Minute. Reminding you, there's certainly many wonderful, cool things to do. Flat out fun here in Mississippi. Go to visitmississippi.org to find out more. All right, today's guest I became fast pals with recently at a mutual friend's charity event in Boston, Michael Arruzioni's. So you know we're talking hockey and some serious, legendary, historic stuff. My guest attended Boston University in the late 70s, where he was the team captain his junior and senior years. He was named All-East Team, All-New England, All-American, Team MVP, Beanpot MVP, and I ain't talking red beans, although I am getting hungry thinking about it. NCAA Tournament MVP and Cochrane Award winner not once but twice. He also roamed the ice, and man did he ever, for Team USA in the 1979 Ice Hockey World Championships Tournament in Moscow that led to, once he graduated, to the historical Team USA 1980 Winter Olympic team that changed the world. 3 days prior to the Olympics against the Soviet Union in an exhibition game, he did go on to injure his left knee, which was a challenge. And this forced him out in the opening game against Sweden. I can remember it like I was like it was yesterday. He returned for the famous Miracle on Ice game against the Soviet Union in the first game of the medal round, and man, did he make his impact noticed. He spent 8 years in the NHL with the Chicago Blackhawks, finished his pro career with the New Jersey Devils, and his business career has been equally, to say the least, as efficient and prolific. He returned to Chicago after his retirement from hockey. He went on to the financial services business for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and he founded the Beanpot Financial Services with former NHL player Jack Hughes. There's so many incredible things that makes this man tick. I have always known him as OC, as the world has. Looking forward to celebrating him right now in the Keep Mississippi Beautiful studio, the one and only OC, Jack O'Callaghan. What's up, Jack?
Hi, Steve. That was quite an introduction. I'll tell you, I was getting exhausted just listening to it.
I know, I'm tired. How's my old golf buddy partner doing? You good?
I'm doing well. Yeah, doing well. I'm getting ready to, in the next couple of days, we'll be up at Dan Jansen's tournament, so another Olympic athlete like Mike Arruzioni, you know, stepping up for some kids, you know, and their families, kids with cancer. So it's always great to have an opportunity to just kind of show up and support those guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody this weekend.
Well, we're supposed to be there, but we have a music festival that I put on down in the Delta, actually on the hallowed ground of where Muddy Waters lived. So it's called...
Oh, my gosh. So that's, I love Muddy Waters, man. Obviously, long time in Chicago, always loved, you know, that kind of music. And, you know, I have this great iPod Touch, believe it or not, about 4,000 live songs on it that a buddy of mine from Chicago gave me. And there's a whole set at the Double Door with Muddy Waters playing. And that night at the old Chicago Stadium, the Stones were playing. It's got to be in the early 70s or 60s, and the whole thing's recorded. And Muddy's playing, you know, and playing to the crowd. And then Jagger and walks in, and Keith Richard, and they do a whole couple sets. It's pretty phenomenal music.
Well, you know the impact that he made on them. I mean, he was a huge influence and didn't even know it across the pond. And also, I wonder if Buddy Guy, was he playing with Muddy then? Do you remember?
Yeah, so, Buddy's got Buddy Guy's place. He's got his own bar down. I mean, he's another, you know, old-time jazz musician, and His bar is like at 8th Street in Wabash in Chicago, a little kind of South Loop area, but pretty close to downtown. And they have different musicians in there entertaining all the time. When I was living, I live in Florida now, but in Chicago for quite a while. And I used to, I've been to Buddy Guy's a few times too. And, you know, Chicago's a pretty good music town.
Oh, man, are you kidding? You know, there was this sort of direct correlation between the Mississippi Delta and Chicago. And I've grown up, as a little kid, I would always hear a lot of our blues locals that had family there that would go play there. Folks from Chicago would come play down in the Delta. I mean, so there was almost like this, it was just like this train that took you straight from here to there and back. It changed the music world. All right, listen.
We
can talk about music, you and me, all forever.
The last quick thing, though, it's sure. Also on the way from the Mississippi Delta all the way to Chicago, you know where they first stopped? St. Louis.
Yeah, that's true.
St. Louis Blues, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's all there. Boy, it lives and breathes. Still there. Hey, so talking to Jack O'Callaghan, OC. OC, first of all, with you and Rizzo growing up, were you guys good friends growing up, or were you heavily competing?
So, we didn't really meet till college. You know, we only grew up about a mile and a half from each other. Mike's a couple years older than me, and I started to get to know who he was, really, when I was probably a junior in high school, and he was a freshman at BU that year, and I remember we played him in a summer game. We had pretty good teams in my little town of Charlestown where I grew up, and we played him in a summer game, and I remember seeing this guy out there with white skates, you know? Kind of a showboat, a little bit, with the white skates. And I asked a guy, one of my buddies from Charleston, I said, "Who's that kid?" He goes, "That's Mike Arizioni, and he's going to BU next year." So he went to BU, and then 2 years later, I went there. So we were 2 years apart, and we became buddies in college, good friends, and then with the Olympic year and everything was terrific. We really, you know, sealed our relationship. I got to know his wife, Donna, really well, And to this day, you know, 40 whatever years later, Mike and I talk, you know, on a regular basis. Our wives are really close buddies, and it's been a really, really great friendship.
Wow, you know, so hockey in the Mississippi Delta, it didn't exist, right? I mean, we didn't have that. We played football, basketball, baseball, track, tennis, you know, whatever, the regular sports, and it was a big deal. Still, obviously, football, the impact in the SEC, and the athletes are insane. Still, that's what we do down here. But I'm going to tell you, I know where I was, what couch I was on, what part of the couch, what the fabric looked like and felt like when I watched that entire Olympics and my dad and my friends. And, you know, we were in a Cold War and things were extremely hostile and frantic, and we had the Iran hostage crisis. Yeah. There was so much going on in the world that was, you know, our economy, the inflation, the no gas. I mean, it was an insane time. And even as a young kid growing up, I remember it all and how important it was to me personally and everybody that I knew. So as you guys are sort of, you're on this team, and the movie, you know, when folks watch the movie and Kurt and you guys, and you had a huge part to do. I want to talk about how the movie came about, because I know that you were extremely influential in that ever happening. As we roll down a Mississippi Minute, go to visitmississippi.org. So many cool things to do. I can't wait to share with my guest today, the legendary Jack O'Callaghan, OC, Miracle on Ice, 1980 hockey team, the tough guy. Oh, yeah. You're going to keep Mississippi Beautiful Studio. I want you to be tough on that.
Hey,
Hey, folks, I'm Steve Azar, and this is pretty cool. The Interactive Teller Machine, or ITM, is Guaranty Bank's latest and greatest way to serve us customers more effectively and conveniently. ITMs provide personal face-to-face interaction with a live bank teller without having to leave the comfort and safety of your car. You can conduct almost any transaction as you would inside, including deposits, withdrawals, check cashing, account transfers, and even loan payment. Give the new ITM system at Guaranty Bank a try. And as always, thank you for trusting Guaranty Bank with all your banking need. For more information, go to GBTOnline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Whether you're a rebel, a bulldog, a golden eagle, or just a sports fan, Super Talk Mississippi has got a podcast for you. For you. Sports Talk Mississippi, The Rebel Report, Thunder and Lightning, The Super Talk Eagle Hour are all now available for you, and it's all free. Free. Get them all on demand at supertalk.fm and on your smartphone. Just search for Super Talk on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder, host of Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. You can hear the show Saturday afternoons 1 until 3 right here on Super Talk Mississippi. Gary Klein and Kelly Jordan are our pros from the Bassmaster Elite Series. Mr. Whitetail Larry Wysoon takes care of all of our big game needs. Plus, Tom Dockin and Ronnie Smith will help you build a better bird dog. Not to mention the fact that we just have a whole heck of a lot of fun with a lot of great guests. I hope you'll be a regular. Hey, we'll see you in the camp house this Saturday at 1 on Super Talk Mississippi.
The news doesn't sleep, and neither do we. Fox News Radio, late breaking, up to the minute, from around the world, around the clock, here on Super Talk Mississippi.
If your vehicle is ever damaged in a collision, please listen carefully. At Clinton Body Shop, we are OEM factory certified with more than 20 national and international manufacturers. In fact, we are Central Mississippi's only Volvo certified auto body repair shop, and we are the first BMW certified independent repair facility in the southern region. And our Richland location is Mississippi's only Subaru certified repair facility. Look, if some of the most prestigious automakers in the world certify Clinton Body Shop, shouldn't you choose them for your repair? Clinton Body Shop in Clinton and Richland. Certified by the company that made your car to repair your car with OEM factory parts. Go to ClintonBodyShop.com. It's about your family's safety and your car's value. That's ClintonBodyShop.com.
Gulf Seafood Outlet,
your fresh seafood headquarters.
Gulf Seafood Outlet.
Seeing is believing with up to 14 types of saltwater fillets.
Gulf Seafood Outlet.
Highway 51 in Ridgeland, just past Lake Harbor Drive, 601-790-9407.
Physical Therapy and Balance, spelled F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L, wants to help you fight the fall. They are offering a free over-the-phone fall assessment screening. Now through the end of October, the assessment will be able to determine your potential fall risk. Physical of Jackson understands the importance of good balance for independent living and want you to be able to love your life. Call Physical of Jackson at 601-487-2260 today for your free over-the-phone fall assessment screening.
A year like no other deserves an event like no other. So that's why D&S Diamonds and Jewelry is offering store-wide savings of 25 to 60% off during our 32nd anniversary event. Many items are reduced 50 to 60%, including stackable rings, pearl strands, and estate jewelry. Even engagement rings are reduced. A small deposit holds your selection for Christmas, or take up to 12 months to pay, interest-free, with approved credit. D&S Diamonds and Jewelry, 144 Market Street in Flowood, in front of JCPenney.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? Our professional parts people will test it for free. If it does need to be replaced, we'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Our Superstart batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, this is Bob, and if you're like me, you like dealing with local people. Majestic Metals was founded in Mississippi in 1954 and are headquartered right in Gluckstadt. For complete metal building systems and steel roofing and siding, call the hometown folks. Majestic Metals, 800-647-8540 or online at majesticmetalsinc.com.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Steve Azar with Jack O'Callaghan, Miracle on Ice, OC. Legendary, legendary stuff. Go to visitmississippi.org to find out more legendary stuff. You keep Mississippi Beautiful Studio. Was it ever a feeling that you guys were in the middle of something greater than the game?
It was still a hockey game for us, you know, and all of it was hockey, right? I mean, it really weren't any Americans playing in the NHL. There might have been three or four, but it was sort of a Canadian-run league with Canadian coaches and Canadian GMs, and we were all really good college players. And it was sort of, for me, I know for sure, it was sort of going to be the end of my real hockey career. You know, 4 years in college, graduate, Olympic year, bang, go to business school, right? Go to law school, get on with my life. So for us, it was like that. It was that much fun, right? The end of it. For the most part, I didn't really want to spend 10 years playing in the minor leagues. You know, I wanted to get on and do something. So we traveled a lot. We represented the United States, so that was a really good, great thing that we had going on. But you know, you got to understand, and you know this too. We're not too far apart in age, but all that stuff that was going on back then, you know, that was just our lives. You know, we weren't really thinking about, wow, how much better it could be. I mean, we grew up, you know, in the Vietnam era with protests and all the racism and, you know, the Kennedys getting shot, Martin Luther King getting shot, and, you know, all these guys, politicians are getting shot and this protesting. And then you kind of move forward into that with Nixon and all that, and you just keep going down the road. You know, it's just with our lives, you know, there's the Cold War, you know, we practice like hiding out in bomb shelters. I mean, that was what you did in school. I mean, they used to do a bomb shelter training. Anyway, we just live that way. And when we're playing hockey, it's like, you know, for us, it was a bit of an escape. You know, we could go play hockey, and it was fun. We're in the USA jersey. We played 60 or so games, or 55 games prior to 7 Olympic games. And, yeah, you know, it was great. I mean, we didn't really know what was going on as much as the rest of the country did, but we were in this little village in upstate New York, and in 1980, you know, there was no ESPN, there was no cable TV, CNN, none of that stuff. So we were the only news we were getting were like local papers that didn't really tell you anything, and we'd get 3-day-old New York Post that was being delivered to Lake Placid from New York City, you know, by stagecoach probably, yeah. Right? So we really didn't have a lot of that experience. The real thing that hit us, I think, was we played well. You know, we lost to the Russians in Madison Square Garden. We went back. Then we kind of tied Sweden. And then 2 days later, we beat the Czechs. And 2 days later, so we start developing some momentum over a 5-10-day period, playing 5 games. And people are watching because, you know, it's on East Coast time. It comes on after the 7 o'clock news, right? I mean, every night at 7 o'clock, you can watch the Olympic hockey team, and we're playing great. So, yeah, all that stuff was awesome because people were watching like you, and then they started sending us telegrams. Again, no internet, no email, no texting, you know, no TikTok, none of that stuff. So we were getting, like, Western Union telegrams, and there's a scene in the movie where you see us walking on the ice to play the Russians, and all these telegrams that taped on the wall as we're going out, and that's what y'all were tapping? Yeah, that really happened. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I remember coming in, like, on the morning of the Russian game, or even the day before we played the Russians, to say it was the Thursday, February 20th or something, or 21st, and I remember I walked into the locker room area, and they had these, like, they had, you know, probably a 12-foot ceiling or maybe 10-foot ceiling. And it was wallpapered with these Western Union, you know, what are they, about 3.5 inches by maybe 5 inches, right, telegrams. They were all taped on the wall. And it was wallpapered, and I couldn't believe it. And I said to the trainers, I said, wow, where did these come from? And he's like, there's like a million of them. He goes, Jack, that's nothing. Come here. And he took me over to another room, like where they had an extra locker room where they were storing this stuff. And he opens the door, and they had to be like 40 more boxes of telegrams, and they're stacked on top of each other. He says, we didn't have room for all of them. You know, we can only cover the walls around our locker room. It was unbelievable. So. That was the kind of big thing that I said, holy cow, the rest of this country, they're really watching and paying attention.
Well, even to take the time to do it, to send that in, I mean, that's the impact that you guys were making. You know, you bring up an interesting point, and I want to ask, there's two questions. One was, you get hurt in the exhibition game. Yeah. What part of the game did it happen, and how serious was the extent of the injury?
Well, it happened, we were playing the Russians in Madison Square Garden, and they're killing us. And, you know, I was pretty competitive, very competitive person as an athlete. And, someone probably losing like 6-1 or something like that. And I'm in a bad mood about it. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can. It's probably in the second period. I'm doing everything I can to make it 6-2. You know what I mean? Like, we lost 10-3. It could have been 100-3. But yeah, so I just came racing up ice and kind of, you know, made a play and cut across the middle. I was a defenseman, and this Russian with his, you know, big butt Russian came across with his big butt, and he just kind of caught me on my left knee, below my left knee, and it felt like my leg disengaged from my body and went into the stands.
Oh,
it was pretty hard. So they carried me off the ice, et cetera, et cetera, and, you know, I'm out of the game, and then we go back to Lake Placid, and, you know, one thing leads to another with seeing all the doctors and stuff, and Herbie had to get the roster in by, like, 2 days. So I had to really train very hard for two days until the rosters went in, and, you know, I had this Dr. Dick Stedman, who's a Vail, Colorado, the Stedman
Clinic. Sure, Dr. we know Stedman. He is, yeah.
Yeah, you know Dr. Stedman, so yeah. It wasn't with Dick Stedman. I don't play in that thing because these other doctors, like, I had torn ligaments, medial collateral ligaments. They were torn, but they were more stretched than torn. And, you know, these other doctors were like, he's done. Well, when Stedman came in, Stedman was like, okay. And I could tell when he walked in, it was like, you know, the waters passed, right? All the other doctors got out of the way because here comes this guy, Dick Stedman, who was like, you know, he was the Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux of orthopedic surgeons, you know, sure. Back in those days. So anyway, he just started working me out a little bit, and he told me, you know, things, I don't go on too much, but he says, I think you can play. These guys don't. You're going to prove them wrong. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to work out for an hour with this trainer. Then you're going to go ice your knee and this and that. Then you're going to go lay down for an hour and a half. Then he's going to wake you up again. You're going to work out for an hour, ice your knee down. You're going to go take an hour and a half nap. Boom. You're going to do this for the next 2 days. And then, and I did this like every, it was like a 3 hour increments, but it was like hour, workout, rest. And when I came back, an hour or two before Herbie had to put the roster in, Stedman gets down and he checks my range of motion and my strength and all this stuff. And he had this smile on his face, and I was like, yeah. Good. He goes, you did everything I asked, Jack. And he turned to the other doctors, he goes, check this out. And they couldn't believe how I had recovered. But he had this theory that competitive athletes can overcome injuries because they'll do whatever it takes on their rehabilitative schedule to get back on the field to play.
Yeah, wow.
It was an amazing experience for me.
Think about it back then. When you would have any sort of injury, they would rest you forever after surgery. Yeah. Talking to Jack O'Callaghan, OC, so if you say you can't go, or if Stedman says no, was it Coxie? Was it him up next?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it never came to that, right? So it probably would not have been Ralph, just because Ralph was a forward. You know, I was a defenseman, so they were probably, I don't know, man. I really don't know who it would have been. There's a lot of speculation that goes on about it, but even to this day, some guys are like, yeah, I think it would have, it might have been Jack Hughes, who ended up being my business partner.
Wow.
But yeah, as it turned out, I mean, I just, you know, I missed two games. You know, the movie had the dramatic effect of my character coming back against the Russians. But, the reality was I missed two games, and the first game against Sweden, I'm on the, like, Herbie had told me, he's like, listen, man, you're not going to play as much as you would normally, you know, cause I was over the 55 games that we played, and I probably only played about 45 of them because I had to, you know, everybody gets injuries during the year, or you miss a few games or whatever. But I was like the leading scorer and defenseman on the team. I led the team in penalty minutes. You know, I was played power play. I mean, I played a lot. And so now I hurt my knee, and Herbie's like, you're not going to play as much as you used to. And he says, and if you're going to just kind of be, you know, crabbing at me about it, and he says, I'm just going to, like, send you home. He says, I need you to help me, like, get this team playing and, you know, be on the bench with me until you're ready to play. And he goes, I don't know when that's going to be, Jack, but he goes, I need your help to stay on top of these guys and, you know, almost become sort of a bit of a coach and a lead, you know, a leader or whatever. And I'm like, I'll do whatever I can to stay in Lake Placid. You know, my parents are coming up and everything else. So yeah. I already spent the money and bought the tickets. Anyhow, so I did that. So you think about this, right? In the first game, every night they test two guys for drug tests back in, even in 1980, you know, random drug tests.
Huh.
And I'm on the bench in my Olympic kind of, like, you know, ski suit kind of thing that Levi's had given us. And game's over, and I'm coming off the bench, and we tied Sweden. They grabbed me and drug tested me, random drug tests, you know, because they're probably thinking I'm an injured guy. Who knows what they're shooting into my knee, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's all these, like, illegal banned substances. So they randomly test the guy that's injured. You know, it was so ridiculous. But anyway, I survived the drug test. Anyway, it was pretty,
so the the uniforms, I saw them on the movie. If they were that tight, they were sort of the onslaught to spandex. You know that, don't you? In the
80s. Yeah, they let into spandex,
Because you guys were setting a trend. You didn't even know
We were trendsetters, cowboy hats and boots and Levi jeans. And,
I love it. I'm talking to Jack O'Callaghan. OC, you're in the Keep Mississippi Beautiful studio. Visit Mississippi.org is the place to go. I can't wait to have Jack O'Callaghan on Mississippi Delta Soul. He's going to have to come to our Delta Soul or else. That's the way I see. No, I didn't say that because I know as the guy that was in the penalty box a lot, and I want to talk about that in a minute. There's a reason for that. So I'm treading on crazy waters. Hey, Jack, you get to play DJ. We are the birthplace of American music down here in Mississippi. Would you like to hear in the break B.B. King or Muddy Waters?
You know, you're talking about two of my favorite guys, so why don't we go with B.B. King?
You got it, with Jack O'Callaghan, legendary 80 Miracle on Ice hockey team, USA. Changed our world for the good. OC, we'll be right back.
From the SeabrookPaint.com Weather Center, I'm Bob Sullender. For all your paint and coating needs, go to SeabrookPaint.com. Today, sunny skies, high near 85. Tonight, mostly clear conditions, low around 63. A beautiful day for your finally Friday on tap, sunny skies, high near 87. Friday evening, mostly clear, low around 64. And looking into Saturday, sunny skies, high near 88.
This weather brought to you by No Drip Roofing and Construction. With rain coming, let us show you what the No Drip difference is all about. No Drip Roofing and Construction, online at NoDripMS.com.
At Fillmore Buick GMC, we strive to make buying your next vehicle easy and take care of you long after you drive off the lot. That means upfront and honest pricing, doing everything we can to make the time you spend in the dealership as short or as long as you need. It means we understand that purchasing a vehicle is more than just a transaction for you. We want you to enjoy the experience as much as we appreciate your business. Find your next Buick GMC or pre-owned vehicle at FillmoreBuickGMC.com. Fillmore Buick GMC. You drive everything we do.
Hi, I'm Dr. Will Umflett with Capital Dental. We at Capital Dental want you to be confident in a bright and healthy smile that you can be proud of. We provide teeth whitening to brighten your smile. Book your appointment today at CapitalDentalInc.com. Capital Dental, located in Northeast Jackson on Lakeland Drive.
For all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services. Glass Networks, they're going to try and steer you to use their own glass shop. Well, you can tell your insurance you want to use Venable Glass, and there'll be no additional cost to them to get the highest quality glass. Venable Glass is locally owned and operated, and they do windshield replacement and rock repair right there in their shops. Or they'll even come to you in the Tri-County area for free. That's right, free mobile service. At Venable Glass, they also do frameless and frame shower doors, mirrors cut to size and installed, picture frame glass, tables, desktops, insulated glass, plexiglass, commercial storefronts, and heavy equipment glass. Venable Glass. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. They want to work hard for your business. Venable Glass. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturday, 8 to noon. Hey, there's two locations, too, in Ridgeland at 660 Highway 51 North and Brandon at 209 Woodgate Drive South in Cross Gates. Check them out on the web at VenableGlass.com. Remember, for all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services, 601-605-4443.
Be sure and check out the newly remodeled Basil's in Fondren, where you get simple food done well. And don't forget to drop by Basil's Fountain View at the Renaissance. Go to eatbasils.com for online ordering for both locations. That's Basil's.
Big Pop invites you to the Capital City Gun Show this weekend, Saturday, October 9th. Show hours will be 9 to 5. Sunday, October 10th. Show hours will be 10 to 5. There'll be plenty of buying, selling, trading, gun appraisals. All federal, state, local laws must apply. And this fall, we're adding football to the big screen to see. I-55 South, Elton Road exit at the Wahhabi Shrine Temple. Adult admission is $8. Kids 6 to 11, $2. See y'all this weekend at the Capital City Gun Show.
I'm Stephen Gagliano, and you're listening to SuperTalk Mississippi News. Pfizer's COVID vaccine is fully approved for those 16 and older and remains authorized for emergency use in kids between 12 and 15. As Fox's Evan Brown explains, that could change.
Pfizer is officially requesting emergency authorization for kids as young as 5, saying that when they get 2 rounds of a lower dose, they develop robust immunity against coronavirus disease.
And on the Senate floor discussing America's withdrawal from Afghanistan, Senator Roger Wicker said that testimony from our nation's top military leaders made clear something he'd known all along.
President Biden not only ignored their advice, which he has the power to do as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, but that he then misrepresented that advice to the American people.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, told Wicker that the withdrawal has caused damage to American alliances around the world.
Is your business or home protected from power outages? Hurricanes cause widespread outages, with some lasting days and even weeks. Don't wait for a hurricane to hit. Prepare today with a standby residential or commercial generator from Taylor Power Systems. Give yourself an advantage over power outages with a Taylor Power standby generator. Give us a call today at 601-922-4444.
I just love sports, and I especially love my sport, Brian. Brian is my superhero on the weekends because he is a barbecue grill master. That boy knows how to heat up some charcoal. Woo! We just love it when we smell that delicious Polk smoked sausage on the grill. Whether it's Polk's original smoked with a hint of sage, Polk's Cajun with a kick of Cajun seasoning, or Polk's garlic and green onion with, well, garlic and green onions. Tell your sport you want Polk's on his grill. No buts about it, folks. Picky people pick Polk's.
Oh, what fun. Mistletoe Marketplace. Join us November 3rd through 6th for the 41st annual premier holiday shopping experience at the Mississippi Trademart in Jackson. As you may know, each year Mistletoe Marketplace offers unique shopping and entertainment. We have special events throughout Mistletoe Marketplace that are sure to excite those young and the young at heart. Buy your tickets today to join the festivities. Funds raised through this beloved event make it possible for the Junior League of Jackson to host over 30 community projects and initiatives.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
As I stumble down a Mississippi Minute, visit Mississippi.org is not a stumbling ground. It is sacred ground. Check it out. You're in the Keep Mississippi Beautiful studio. I'm so excited to have one of the greatest, a part of the greatest sports moment. Forget sports. Life moment. It's bigger than sports. We all know it. 1980 Miracle on Ice hockey team. And I was always a fan of, on my phone, there's Goodfellas. I can tell everybody, I'm going to have a confession. There's Casino. And I don't know what it is about Boston and New York people that just keep me watching movies. And there's Miracle, you know, with Kurt Russell and these guys. So I'm talking to Jack O'Callaghan, OC, the toughest guy on that team. Hey, Jack, what is it about you growing up? Were you always in the penalty box, and were you just a naturally tough guy growing up? And what made you that kind of hockey player?
Well, you know, it's funny you ask that question. I mean, I grew up in a pretty rough part of Boston called Charlestown, Mass., which is in the city of Boston, 1 square mile, basically Irish Catholics. 3 Catholic parishes, 3 housing projects, and I grew up in a 2-family. But, you know, that being said, it wasn't like a tenement or anything. I mean, like, you know, they were cops. You know, people who lived in my town were cops and firemen, and, you know, one end of the town, there was the New England Teamsters, the truckers, one of the end of the town, the International Longshoremen's Association, because we were on water. It's where the Battle of Bunker Hill was fought. You know, the USS Constitution is more there. But one square mile far to Boston, there's a lot going on. So there were bank robbers and, you know, that kind of stuff in my town. But there was a lot of, like, hard-working blue-collar guys. I mean, we all generationally just love sports, you know. And, in my town, believe me, I was far from being a tough guy. There was just so many tougher guys than me. But I was just competitive more than anything. You know, I really liked the – once I started playing the game, I started a little later. So I probably – my skill development was probably behind my friends. And, I mean, one way I could – you know, bridge that gap from my lack of skill or my late development skill. I could bridge the gap was, you know, I just played harder than anybody, you know, and so that led to a lot of, you know, you end up banging into people. It's hockey, right? You're banging into people, and you got a hockey stick in your hand, and Yeah, so I don't know. I just kind of developed that way. And then I used to wear glasses when I played, you know, because I had some eye issues as a kid. So I wore bifocal glasses, and I'm playing hockey as a 9-year-old and 10-year-old. And people would get, you know, they'd bump into me with their shoulder or their elbow. My glasses would break, and my dad would be like, you got to protect these glasses, for Christ's sakes. Every time they break, it's costing me $25, you know. So I just didn't want to see my dad keep having to spend $25. So when anybody kind of came near me, I would, you know, I'd be aggressively going at them because I didn't want them to break my glasses. So my dad always said that was the reason why I became, you know, such a bit of a, you know, a tougher player. But I think it's just where I grew up, you know. I think the kids in my town that played hockey, we all grew up with the same sort of, you know, blue-collar kind of personality.
Right.
Yeah, competitive and this and that. So I think that's where it came from. And, you know, we grew up fighting with each other and against each other. We were like one big family in Charlestown. You know, we'd fight amongst ourselves until somebody from, like, South Boston or Dorchester walked into the town. Then we'd all be together and we'd fight against those guys. So I don't know.
Wow.
It's a fun but crazy place to grow up.
Let's talk about the movie. Let's talk about where it came from and what took it so long. And also, you bring up one thing, and I want to talk. The intro of the movie, it's historical. All these moving parts from Vietnam to Richard Nixon, Watergate. So was that your thinking? And then how does it all go down?
That was all kind of my idea. So it really went down when, I don't know, HBO wanted to do a documentary on us, you know. So they did a one-hour documentary, which was great. They had probably 1,000 hours of film to do a one-hour documentary. And it was very well received. It was the first time they had ever done a one-hour documentary on anything. You know, these guys at HBO, we all agreed to participate in the thing, you know, and sit for, you know, interviews and all that. And then what happened was, you know, I guess we kind of took them at their word that this, everything we did, all the work product and everything was, you know, and we were somewhat new to this. We had a lawyer, but we kind of trusted them. Well, what happened was they took all of this information, all this work product, all this video and everything, and then they went to Disney and said, hey, we think we got a movie here, and we own all this work product. So Disney's like, well, this is awesome. They bought in, so they're going to do a movie, and they're going to pay Rizzioni, Craig, and Herbie to be consultants. And then I got wind of it, and I was like, Rizzioni told me, actually, and I was like, this isn't happening. So I, you know, the movie's kind of moving along a little bit, so I wrote what was known as the letter. The producers told me, she said, oh, yeah, that was you, the email? I said, yeah, that was me. And I basically told them if they thought they were going to make a movie on the 80 Olympic team on the memories of three guys, Herbie, Craig, and Mike, I said they might as well name it Fantasia 2 because it's just not going to be to tell the story. And I said, on top of that, I'll get 20 of my teammates, and we're gonna throw gasoline on this movie every chance we get. I said, this movie will be an absolute failure, and I'll tell the story how you basically stole all this stuff from us. And I go, people like us, you know, and they're not going to like Disney when you do that. So anyway, that stopped production immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you know, we all kind of talked about it, and I was like, okay, look, it. So I ended up finding an entertainment lawyer, George Tobia, and George, Boston guy, but he had a pretty good history as an entertainment lawyer, and then he kind of got together with the lawyer we have on the bio, and it all worked out. And eventually, they paid us a certain amount of money that we 100% split equally amongst our teammates, right? Which is the only way it can be done with our team because that's how we do things, right? It's like just because Mike scored the big goal, you know, it doesn't make him any more important than, you know, the backup goalie. I mean, that's how we look at it, you know.
Right,
and I know Mike, obviously, he's the captain, scored the big goal and everything else, and he's been able to monetize that for his entire career, which is phenomenal. I'm thrilled for him to be able to do that. But when it comes to inside the team, he's no different than anybody else. So when we're doing a movie like that, it had to go equally across all of us. And even to this day, you know, even we've lost a couple guys, you know, everything. Anything we do, they get a full. Their families get a full share. So
I love it.
That's who we are, right? That's how we became the great team that we became, and how we ended up winning is we had to stick together, and we're doing it to this day. So that was cool. But when the movie started, you know, I mean, I got to know the director because his name's Gavin O'Connor, and he's an Irish guy from New York, and kind of grew up in a similar environment as I did, you know, cops and firemen and his family. And I don't know, we just clicked out in L.A. We just met, and he's like, you know, I hate the script, Jack. I want to kind of change some things. And I was like, well, look, I don't care what you do because we already got paid. I don't know how you rewrite the script. And he says, I'm the director. I can do anything I want. I said, well, okay. But look, I played football at 10, so he's I play football at Penn, and I know great teams has nothing to do, it has very little to do with what happens on the field of play. It has everything to do with what happens off the field of play. And so I know, I need to know what made you guys come together and click. You know, I know it didn't happen on the ice, so I was like, you know, just send me, look, Gavin, I was like, you know, we're having a couple beers and just kind of hanging out. And I'm like, just send me an email and just ask me a question when you're going through the whole thing. If you have any questions, I'll tell you what happened. So, you know, he asked me a lot of questions. He asked me questions and I'd reply. You could tell I'm kind of verbose anyway. And I'd answer his question, but I'd give him all this context and background. And then he'd say, hey, that's a great answer. He says, you know, you mentioned something here in your reply to me. You mentioned this. Like, what happened there? And I'd do the same thing. I'd give him perspective. So that's how, like, the skating in the dark scene was not in the original script. You know, I told him about it. He asked me about it. I gave him the whole context and the background. Pushing the plane, the Christmas party, you know, like that we had, it was awesome. And then he asked me, why do people always say that this is greater than, it was much greater than just a hockey game? And again, I grew up on the battlefield, Bunker Hill, Battle of Bunker Hill, you know, so that's where our country was founded. I'm a very proud American, and, you know, I love the military and all that. And, you know, I just was like, you really want to know my opinion, if you want to know why this is more than a hockey game, like, you got to go back to World War II. You know, you got these World War II veterans who are the greatest American heroes and the greatest generation, and then you got their kids in Vietnam, and like, they're seeing their kids, you know, their daughters are burning their bras, and the kids are protesting and running to Canada, and there's this giant disconnect between the generations. And I said, then you kind of go through the late 60s and the racism and into the, you know, the 70s when you got, like, Watergate. So, I mean, I just walked them right through the whole thing, the gas crisis, blah, blah. And I said, and then you come to 1979, and you got hostages, okay?
Right.
And I goes, and you realize, like, the World War II generation and the Vietnam generation, they just couldn't get along. They just never agreed on anything. There was just this disconnect. And I said, the one thing that really brought everything together, all of that stuff that brought it together, was our team.
It was.
Over a two-week period in Lake Placid, you know, just full of emotion and full of pride and being an American and, you know, full of competitiveness and doing anything we could to stick together and be cohesive. And it brought everybody together. And it was like all of a sudden, you know, World War II dads were hugging their kids who protested Vietnam or something, right? Or liberal Democrats and Republicans, you know, actually were, you know, hugging it out. So, I mean, wouldn't that be fun to see nowadays? But, yeah, so that was it. And then I love the way Gavin handled it in the movie. I mean, that's how he started the movie. He started the movie with, like, you know, Hiroshima or something like that. So that's pretty solid.
Yeah, incredible. We're talking Jack O'Callaghan. We're getting the skinny of Miracle on Ice before, during. I love it. OC, you're in the Keep Mississippi Beautiful studio. I'm Steve Azar. You're in a Mississippi Minute. Visit Mississippi.org is the website you go to find out all the cool things that you have to do right here. And I can't wait to celebrate that with my pal Jack O'Callaghan. We'll be right back to wrap it up. Folks, I'm Steve Azar, and this is pretty cool. The Interactive Teller Machine, or ITM, is Guaranty Bank's latest and greatest way to serve us customers more effectively and conveniently. ITMs provide personal face-to-face interaction with a live bank teller without having to leave the comfort and safety of your car. You can conduct almost any transaction as you would inside, including deposits, withdrawals, check cashing, account transfers, and even loan payment. Give the new ITM system at Guaranty Bank a try. And as always, thank you for trusting Guaranty Bank with all your banking needs. For more information, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
For a flipping good time, come down to Cock of the Walk.
Celebrating our 40th anniversary at Cock of the Walk. Voted the best catfish in Mississippi with our grilled or fried catfish along with greens, coleslaw, and a skillet of our homemade cornbread. With locations on the Reservoir, Pocahontas, and 1 mile from the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee.
Catfish, hush puppies, and fried dill pickles. For a flipping good time, come down to Cock of the Walk.
I like chicken.
I like fish.
I like hush puppies.
I love it. Catfish is excellent.
For a flipping good time, come down to Cock of the Walk.
This is Brent Calloway. Since 1954, Calloway's has been family owned and operated. Located in Gluckstadt, just south of Germantown High. Ready for fall? Callaway's has everything you need, from beautiful fall color plants, pumpkins, and wheat straw, to trees, shrubs, soils, and mulches. Callaway's has just received another huge shipment of ceramic pots, all sizes, all colors, all 40% off, no exclusions. Our farmer's market is full of fresh fruits, vegetables, local honey, jellies, and jams, and the best tomatoes in town. Callaway's has farm fresh produce 7 days a week. Callaway's has special pricing on outdoor patio furniture and the largest selection in the South. We offer bulk soils for do-it-yourself projects. Callaway's offers landscaping. Our designers, Clinton Streeter and Corey Castle, can design and install your landscape. Visit Callaway's in Gluckstadt on Calhoun Station Parkway, south of Germantown High.
Callaway's is everything for home and garden. That's what Callaway's is.
Whether it's getting the kiddos to school.
I love you.
Bye, Mom.
Or taking it off-road and uphill.
Oh, yeah! Yeah! Woohoo! Oh, yeah, baby!
We've got the right tires for you.
Tire Depot has a huge selection of tires for every budget and every purpose. From everyday drivers to extreme off-road performance, Tire Depot has you covered. Alignments, mounting and balancing, lift kits, and general repair. Tire Depot at the Reservoir in Brandon and Terry Road in Byram.
Is your prostate waking you up more often than your alarm clock? The fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart. Visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Research shows moving is one of life's most stressful events, but thanks to Two Men in a Truck Ridgeland, it doesn't have to be. We have everything you need. A professional team who will customize your move, a schedule to fit your convenience Monday through Saturday, and all of the necessary moving supplies, including free padding and stretch wrap to protect your belongings. Don't stress. Let Two Men in a Truck handle your home or business moving needs. Visit twomeninatruck.com for a free, no-obligation estimate.
This is Jake Mangum. Some call me the mayor. No player wins any game by themselves. It takes a team. So if you want excellent customer service and competitive insurance rates, you need to go with the home team, Mississippi Farm Bureau, just like I did. Visit faverates.com for great rates on home and auto insurance. Or find a local agent at msfbins.com. Farm Bureau Insurance. Go with the home team.
What's my core value? Equity.
Compassion.
Determination. At AmeriCorps, my commitment to equity gives every student a strong start.
My compassion brings food and friendship to neighbors in need.
My determination protects parks in my community. Every day, AmeriCorps members and volunteers live their values to make communities stronger. What's at your core? Learn more at AmeriCorps.gov.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Dr. Callahan, OC, is my guest. I felt like I knew a new OC back in, you know, well before I met him, because he was the cool guy on Miracle on Ice in the movie. And, of course, I've gotten to play many BMWs and back in the day of the Bob Hope with Kurt Russell. And I was a fan of back in the used car days when Kurt was on used cars. So I got to tell him that later, but his portrayal of Herb Brooks, Coach Herb Brooks, was so cool. So you're in the Keep Mississippi Beautiful studio. That is never a side note. Visit Mississippi.org is the place to go. Please check it out. Please check it out for your next getaway this weekend. All right. Jack O'Callaghan, OC. We got to wrap it up, but we got a few minutes. How does Kurt Russell get casted? Do you have anything to do with that?
No, nothing. But, you know, the thing is, I heard later in Kurt's career, he was one of these guys that Disney found him, you know, when he was young, and they started using him in movies. And, you know, back then, I'm sure Disney had, like, what's now known as, like, the Q rating, you know, how do people like him? Do people have a good opinion of him? Is he wholesome? Blah, blah, blah. And so he was like a Disney guy. you know. And now Disney is doing this movie, and I heard that, like, they know that that Kurt can kind of carry a movie. He's got a presence. He can do anything, and he's a good guy. He works hard, you know, good influence on the set and everything else. So, and then plus, Kurt probably wanted the job because he grew up in Springfield, Mass, playing baseball and hockey. And then he had a son, Wyatt. He and Goldie, I think, might be. I'm pretty sure it's their combined son. I know they've got sort of a multiple family situation going on, but I'm pretty sure Wyatt was a goalie and played like in the British Columbia Midget League. And there were stories always about how Kurt and Goldie be like going to watch the kids play. Like they were just hockey parents, like regular people. So I would say, you know, that's sort of how he ended up in that role.
He's incredible. A great actor. A tombstone back in the days. Well, I mean, he's insane, right? Just insane actor and good guy. Yeah. And good guy. So was Herb Brooks. Was Coach Brooks that tough on you guys, or were y'all equally as tough on yourselves?
Well, you know, it's funny, Minnesota kids were, they knew Herbie much better than I did. I mean, I only knew him through college, and we only played Minnesota while I was at Boston University. We only played him once. It was like the 1976 national championship in the semifinals. So I didn't have a good experience about him. And the next time I really played against him, because, you know, we were East Coast college, they were West, we don't always play each other, was in Moscow in 79 after I graduated in the World Cup. Now, and then he becomes my coach, you know. So, and then we, you know, we start the Olympic year, and I make the team. And so, you know, these guys from Minnesota, they played three. Some of them had played Billy Baker like 4 years for him. And, you know, they were like, oh, man, this guy's, you know, hard. Like, even and after the movie, like, I thought it was a funny comment a couple of the Minnesota guys made. It was like, yeah, boy, they got, boy, well, Kurt, you know, they get him, you know, the one thing that they did in, with Herbie's character is they really softened him up. Everybody that watches the movie, I ask the same question to me. Was Herbie really that tough? And I'm like, well, the Minnesota guys, they thought they softened him up for the movie. You know, so Kurt Russell, you know, wasn't nearly as, like, tough as Herbie.
And the team, how it was chosen, when he says, I didn't go after the best players, I went after the right players.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, that, it's kind of the funny thing. Even, again, there was nobody who was taping anything back then. You know, they might write it down. I probably told the director that line, you know, because, again, Gavin and I were talking a lot about stuff. I mean, even when he had said, hey, what was Herbie's speech like at the, you know, at the end of the game, before the rushing game? And I mean, no one knew. No, I mean, we kind of remembered. And, you know, I had a really good memory of all this stuff. You know, I had taken pictures. You know, I was really into photography back then. So I had photo albums full of pictures of our entire 7 months together that I gave to the dresser of the movie because he wanted to see what kind of clothes we wore back then so he could actually dress our characters properly. And so, you know, anyway, with, like, I mean, with Herb, it was just sort of, I had a memory for this stuff. And when Gavin's like, so what did he say in the locker room? I was like, well, here's how I remember his speech. And I didn't write it word for word that came out in the movie, but I did kind of write, like, these are the themes of his speech in my mind. It was like, his themes in the speech were like, you know, you guys were meant to be here at this moment in time. Yeah. Because this is your time, not their time. And you've all earned your rights, and you're standing on the shoulders of great American hockey players, and now you're here, and this is your moment, and you've earned the right to be here. So I kind of, you know, I wrote, like, the theme thematically what this Herbie speech meant to me and what I heard and this and that. So, and then, you know, and Gavin worked on it, created this great speech, right? And Herb and Kurt Russell gives it tremendously.
So good.
And so when we're watching the movie, the day of, like, the premiere, we're all out in L.A. at this beautiful, you know, Cadillac Theater or whatever, and they wanted – I had already seen the movie two or three times because my character was caused me to go to the sets and stuff. But
of course.
Now the entire team's sitting in there watching the movie, and it was dead silence for 2 hours.
Yeah.
We just looked like – everybody just sitting there silence, no one saying a word. When the movie was over, one of the first comments was, did Herbie really say that?
I love it.
You know, I was like, because it was so different. You know, I'd seen the movie with the Hollywood Foreign Press, and they're cheering and screaming like the game was live, even though it had happened 25 years ago. And when I watched it with my teammates, you know, for the first time for most of them, it was dead silence.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit, it was a pretty interesting experience. And, you know, I'm sure you could do, like, some kind of a study on that.
Oh, but, their time is over. It's your time. Now go out there and take it. I know everything.
Yeah,
I can say it all.
I took out
I can
of
do it.
It
all.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, the hell with them. I'm sick and tired of these guys, you know.
I am, I've had an outer body experience. I'm watching part of myself on the wall right now because it excites me. And Jack, it's been just so good to get to know you. Jack O'Callaghan, OC, Miracle
Steve.
On Ice, 80 hockey team. Visit Mississippi.org is your home.
Yep.
He's in Boston via Florida. He's in Florida right now. All right, brother.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
The news doesn't sleep, and neither do we. Fox News Radio, late breaking, up to the minute, from around the world, around the clock, here on Super Talk Mississippi. A Super Talk Mississippi media production.